On the Enterprise, the day crew enters the bridge where Data has been on watch overnight.
Good morning, Commander.
Data? Interesting night?
I found it extremely interesting. The lateral sensor arrays ran three separate spectral analyses on the Alwaner Nebula on three distinct frequencies.
I'm sorry I missed it.
I will have the report sent to you, sir. We are still on course for the Garamond sector. Our speed is warp 6, ETA 1300 hours. Sickbay reported one minor injury in the exobiology department at 0420 hours.
Very well. Isn't Lieutenant Worf scheduled to replace Ensign Tarragon?
Yes, sir. I was not informed of any change in the duty roster.
He's never late. Riker to Lieutenant Worf. Computer, locate Lieutenant Worf.
Lieutenant Worf is in his quarters.
Something's wrong. Mr. Data, you have the bridge. Security team, meet me on Deck 7, Section 25 Baker.
Aye, sir.
Riker and two security staff head for Worf's quarters. Riker presses the entry buzzer. There is no response.
Computer, override security lock on this door. Authorization, Riker Office 60.
The room is lit only by candles. A ritual fire flickers on an iron stand.
Door. Lock. Door. Shell. Door.
Worf. What the hell are you doing?
Worf lifts his head slowly. His face glistens with sweat. He is clearly in a deep trance. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Rightful Heir, voiced by Roland Bean. A comet, its tail glowing red and blue in the star's light, flashes past, revealing a rocky moon orbiting a ringed planet. The Starship Enterprise journeys into the wild beauty of the unknown. Streaming flat plains of swirling gases ring an enormous glowing orb in a distant galaxy.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, and Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn pushes the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines on the Enterprise power up. Explosive fusion builds to a warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light. Worf is lying on his bed.
Enter!
Captain Picard steps into Worf's quarters. His face is stern as he approaches the bed. Worf fails to notice who his visitor is.
Captain.
On your feet, Lieutenant.
Sir.
Mr. Worf, your personal affairs are strictly your own concern until they interfere with the operation of this ship. You have now crossed that line. As your captain, I want to know exactly what is going on.
It is difficult to explain.
Try.
Ever since I returned from the cryosystem, I have felt empty.
Does this have something to do with the Klingons you rescued from Karaya 4?
They were young. They knew nothing of their heritage. So while I was there, I tried to teach them about their people, their culture. I told them our ancient stories, instructed them in our customs, explained our beliefs. And then I told them about Kalis, how he had united our people long ago, how he gave us strength and honor, and how he promised to return one day and lead us again.
Picard's gaze falls on the small shrine, ritual flame holder, and other artifacts.
Is that what you're doing here? Trying to recapture those feelings?
Yes, I was trying to summon a vision of Kalis.
It's a pity that you didn't try the holodeck instead of setting fire to your quarters.
Using the holodeck would not have been appropriate. Everything had to be real if Kalis were to appear. But all this is for nothing. He did not come to me.
Worf sits despondently on the bed.
I gave Tok and the others a belief in Stovokor, the life which lies beyond this life, where Kalis awaits us. When I saw the power of their beliefs, I began to question the strength of my own, and I found it wanting.
Have you lost your faith in Stovokor?
To lose something, one must first possess it. I am not sure I ever had a true belief.
Worf composes himself and approaches his captain.
But I should not have allowed it to interfere with my duties. My behavior has been...
inexcusable. And understandable. It may be that what you are looking for cannot be found here on the Enterprise. Perhaps you need to immerse yourself in Klingon beliefs in order to discover if they can hold any truths for you. Is there something you could do? Is there somewhere you could go to explore your faith more fully?
Boroth, the followers of Kalis await his return there. To Klingons, there is no more sacred place.
Boroth is only 12 days from here by shuttle. As of this moment, Mr. Worf, you are on leave.
Thank you, sir.
But when you set foot on this ship again, I expect you to perform your duties like a Starfleet officer.
Yes, sir.
Letting the rebuke hang in the air, Picard turns to leave.
And Mr. Worf, I hope you find what you're looking for.
Thank you, sir.
Picard exits. In the mountaintop temples of Boreth, snow-covered and hewn from the very rock itself, Worf and others chant the invocation of Kalis.
Kalis, he is standing before me with a sword. He wants something. Me. He wants me. He wants me to go with him.
It is a powerful vision you have had, Devok. Kalis wants you to join him in Stovokor. You're only 19, and yet your place among the honored dead is already secure. Take him back to his chamber. Let him sleep.
Worf stands looking puzzled and frustrated in the flickering firelight. Shortly, in his quarters, Worf packs his bag.
You're leaving us?
It has been 10 days, Korth. I have had no visions. I have received no insight. There is nothing here for me.
The white-haired elder eyes Worf.
What is the story of the promise, Worf?
When Kalis had united our people and gave them the laws of honor, he saw that his work was done, so one night he gathered his belongings and departed for the edge of the city to say goodbye.
The people wept. They did not want him to go.
Then Kalis said, "You are Klingons. You need no one but yourselves. I will go now to Stovokor, but I promise one day I will return." Then Kalis pointed to a star in the sky and said, "Look for me there, on that point of light."
So, here we are, on a world circling that distant point of light. It has been 15 centuries since he made that promise, and still we wait. What are 10 days in the life of one Klingon compared to that? Is the son of Mog really so easily discouraged? You came to us seeking answers, but this is a place of questions. Open your heart to Kalis. Ask him your questions. Let him speak to you with your mind unclouded by doubt or hesitation. Only then can you find what you are looking for. If you cannot do that, then perhaps you should return to your starship.
Koroth leaves Worf torn between his pride and his frustration. Later, Worf and another continue the ritual. Worf pauses as a bright light fills the cave. He gazes in wonder as the figure of a fur-clad Klingon warrior forms.
I see Kalis.
Worf's young companion, completely aghast, hurries off to spread the news. The figure approaches Worf and stretches its arms towards him. Worf rises and reaches out, touching the vision's hands. Others arrive at the scene.
I am Kalis, and I have returned.
Worf can only stare, awestruck. Dusk is falling as the High Clerics follow Kalis to the cave housing the High Altar. Kalis steps up and takes hold of the sacred Bat'leth sword.
What are you doing? Who are you?
It is Kalis.
The face on the mural behind the altar is the same as stands before them.
I have returned. You doubt me? Who here knows the story of how this sword was forged?
No one knows. It is not written in the sacred texts.
I went into the mountains. All the way to the volcano at Kristat. There I cut off a lock of my hair and thrust it into the river of molten rock that poured from the summit. The hair began to burn. Then I plunged it into the lake of Lusor and twisted it into this sword. And after I used it to kill Molor, I gave it a name. Bat'leth, the Sword of Honor.
You know. The story of the sword is known only to the High Clerics. It was never written down so that if he returned, we could be sure it was Kalis.
I have returned because there is a great need in my people. They fight amongst themselves in petty wars that corrupt the glory of the Klingon spirit. They have lost their way, but it is not too late. I have returned, and I will lead my people again.
Vorka, Dobak, Kalis.
Vorka, Dobak, Kalis. Vorka, Dobak, Kalis.
Worf alone does not kneel. Later, Kalis comes to Worf's room.
What is it you are doing?
I was getting my tricorder.
Tricorder? Is it a weapon?
No, no. It is a tool. I intended to use it to see...
To see if I was real. Proceed. Use your tricorder. Well?
You are Klingon.
What else could I be?
There are many possibilities. A shapeshifter. A holographic projection.
So, you are a skeptic, Worf. I like that.
How do you know my name?
We have met before. I appeared to you in a vision in the caves of Nomat. You were just a child then. I told you that you would do something that no Klingon had ever done before. You still do not believe it is me, do you, Worf?
I want to believe.
That is a beginning.
Worf watches Kalis leave, wanting to believe, but still unsure. Kalis is holding court on the main chamber.
Gowron is the leader of the council. He commands the entire defense force if he chooses to oppose
you. Do not worry. We are on the threshold of a new era for our people. Klingons from all over the Empire will flock to my banner. Diet! Something still weighs heavy on the brow of the son of Mork. Are you contemplating yet another question for me? After 3 days, I'm beginning to wonder if you know how to do anything else.
Questions are the beginning of wisdom, the mark of a true warrior.
Do not forget that a leader need not answer questions of those he leads. It is enough that he says to do a thing and they will do it. If he says to run, they run. If he says to fight, they fight. If he says to die, they die.
Worf stands as Kalis turns his back on him.
If the commander is worthy of that trust.
Nuch, Jatlak. Nuch.
At the command, Kalis is handed the sacred sword Batleth. Worf is handed a similar crescent-shaped blade. The warriors expertly twirl the weapons, sizing each other up. Kalis strikes first. Evenly matched, having fallen against a table, they separate and circle each other once again.
What is wrong? Is there only anger and bloodlust in your souls? Is that all that is left in the Klingon heart? We do not fight merely to spill blood, but to enrich the spirit. Look at us, two warriors, locked in battle, fighting for honor. How can you not sing for all to hear? We are Klingons! Yes, let it out. Let the joy in your heart be heard. We are Klingon!
We are Klingon!
We are Klingon!
We are Klingon! We are Klingon! We are Klingon! We are Klingon! We are Klingon! We are Klingon!
Captain's log, stardate 468-52.2. The Enterprise is to proceed directly to the planet Boreth to take aboard a very unusual guest.
Did you take any other tricorder readings? An anatomical profile or a neurophysiology scan?
No.
It's going to be very difficult to eliminate any possibilities at this point. He may be a coalescent being taking Klingon form, or a bioreplicant, or even a Klingon who has been surgically altered to look like Kalis.
There is another possibility. He could be the real Kalis. He may have actually returned as he promised.
The appearance of Kalis in the lava caves is consistent with the stories found in the Klingon sacred texts.
Worf, no offense, but I have trouble believing that the man that I escorted from Deck 8 is supernatural.
I did not say that he is. I merely think we should not completely reject the possibility.
Look, we have no reason to rule out anything. We are not ordered to investigate the origins of our guest, nor to tell anyone what they should believe. We are simply to transport Kalis to the home world. And while he's here with us, he will be treated as an honored guest.
All rise as the captain leaves.
Lieutenant.
Worf looks resigned as Data approaches.
May I ask a question? In the absence of empirical data, how will you determine whether or not this is the real Kalis?
It is not an empirical matter. It is a matter of faith.
Faith? Then you do believe Kalis may have supernatural attributes. As an android, I am unable to accept that which cannot be proven through rational means. I would appreciate hearing your insights on this matter.
Perhaps some other time, Commander. I do not believe I can provide much insight at this moment.
Data's brow furrows as the troubled Worf leaves. A Klingon bird of prey has now joined the Enterprise. Its captain and High Counselor Gowron beam aboard.
Welcome aboard, Gowron.
Where is he, Picard?
I assume that you're referring to Kalis.
I am referring to the filthy Patak who is using his name.
Well, the person in question is in his quarters at the moment.
What have you learned about him so far? What kind of medical analysis have you made? Do you have any theories about his true origin?
We haven't done any analysis.
What kind of fools do you have working for you, Picard? The imposter's been aboard for nearly a day.
If you had wanted to run tests on Kalis, you should have sent a Klingon ship for him.
And have him begin spreading his poisonous lies through a ship of loyal Klingons? Never.
If he really is an imposter, then you have nothing to worry about.
Kalis has been dead for 1,000 years. But the idea of Kalis is still alive. Have you ever fought an idea, Picard? It has no weapon to destroy, no body to kill. The idea of Kalis's return must be stopped here now, or it will travel through the Empire like a wave and leave nothing but destruction behind.
Aron sweeps off. On the Enterprise, Picard meets with Kalis and the clerics.
So Gowron has come on board in order to test your claim.
Gowron knows that his days are nearly over. Now he comes crawling aboard with some kind of test.
We do not have to prove anything to Gowron.
What is this test?
He has brought a knife with him, a knife that is supposed to be stained with the blood of Kalis.
Gowron has brought the knife of Kirim? No one is permitted to remove it from the sacred vault.
Gowron does not care about what is sacred.
He wants to run a genetic analysis on a sample of the blood and on you. That should tell us if there is a biological match. Now, if you agree to the test, I will make the Enterprise facilities available to ensure that it is conducted impartially.
Perhaps it is time to settle the doubts of those who still do not believe. I will allow this test.
Dr. Crusher takes tricorder readings from a blood-stained knife.
There. That should do it. Computer, run a genetic comparison on this blood sample and the tissue belonging to Kalis.
The genetic patterns are identical.
But how? How can this be?
Worf is now convinced.
It is true. Kalis has returned. I am sorry. Our replicator did not do justice to Klingon Warnog.
Looks perplexed as he sips the drink.
It's been so long since I have tasted any food or drink. There are many things I have forgotten.
Kalis. May I ask you about death and Stovokor? Tell me, what awaits us beyond this life?
I do not have those answers. I'm merely a traveler. Someone who has journeyed back and forth between this world and the next. While I am in this form, I know only about this world. And there is much work for me to do in this world. And you will be part of it, Worf.
Me?
It was your purity of heart that summoned me back from Stovokor. And Korath has told me about the respect you have earned in the Federation and the Empire. I want you to have a place at my side as we restore honor to our people. Let me tell you about this new empire we will forge.
It will be glorious.
It will be war.
No.
You're not a fool, Worf.
Do you really think that every Klingon in the Empire will bend his knee and grovel before this man just because Koroth says he is Kaelas?
He is Kaelas. Your own test proved it.
I will not hand over the Empire to Koroth because of one test.
It is not Koroth, it is...
Of course it is Koroth! Open your eyes. Koroth and the other Guardians have always opposed me. This is nothing more than a ploy for them to finally seize power. Even now, there are warriors on my own ship who want to see Kaelas. There are others who believe he is an imposter. The divisions are already forming.
But it does not have to be this way. We could all join together and welcome Kaelas as a united people.
Don't you see? This is exactly why they want you to join them. Because your brother sits on the council. And your voice carries weight in the Empire. They want you to influence others to follow them. Worf, we fought together once, side by side to keep the Empire from being torn apart. Will you stand by and let these imposters destroy all that we fought so hard to protect? Renounce him, Worf. Stand with me. And we can hold the Empire together.
You do not understand. Kaelas is our future. Only with his help can we revive the pure warriors within ourselves. Listen to him, Gowron. Open your heart, hear his words. He will restore your faith as he has restored mine. Give him a chance to lift your spirit and cleanse your heart before you take up arms.
Knowing Worf's sincerity, Gowron considers the argument. Gowron enters the holodeck, which is now a Klingon temple.
Koroth! I see that not all fools die young.
Kaelas!
All eyes follow him as Kaelas strides into the temple.
Kaelas, may I present Gowron, leader of the High Council. Kaelas!
Settling into the raised throne, Kaelas glares at the gathering.
Long ago, a storm was heading toward the city of Quinlat. The people sought protection within the walls, all except one man who remained outside. I went to him and asked what he was doing. I am not afraid, he said. I will not hide my face behind stone and mortar. I will stand before the wind and make it respect me. I honored his choice and went inside. The next day, the storm came, and the man was killed. The wind does not respect a fool. Do not stand before the wind, Gowron.
What was his name?
What? If you were really there, you should be able to tell us the name of the man outside the walls. Describe him to us. What was he wearing? How tall was he? What color? What his eyes? I do not remember. It was long ago and in another lifetime. What matters is I have returned to restore faith and hope to my people. To lead them back to the way of honor and the glory that once was theirs and can be again. Is that what you oppose, Gowron?
I oppose you.
I say you are not Kaelas.
Huh? And I will not bend my knee to you as long as I can draw breath. Or pick up a blade.
Kaelas slowly walks towards Gowron, hand reaching for his own knife.
No!
Koroth!
Knives drawn, Kaelas and Gowron circle each other. Gowron moves to strike first.
try, Gowron, but not enough.
Again, it is an even fight. Gowron is holding his own.
You have no joy, Gowron. Is your heart so full of mistrust and suspicion that you've forgotten what it means to be truly Klingon?
Gowron flies at Kalos, who is knocked down. Gowron, knife raised, goes for the coup de grace. Worf holds him back.
Kalos, the greatest warrior of them all.
Worf looks down in disappointment at the defeated figure of Kalos.
Everything will be all right. We will say that Gowron used a dishonorable tactic in his fight with Kalos.
That he cheated.
That is a lie. He did not...
We do not need to hear any more from the son of Mog. None of this would have happened if you had not brought them together.
I am Kalos. I am the strongest, the bravest warrior.
Do not think about what happened. You must think of the future of the Empire.
There is no future here. No glorious new era for our people. Gowron was right. You did not know the name of the man who faced the storm. You do not even know what real Warnock tastes like. And you certainly are not the greatest warrior of all. Whoever you are not Kalos.
You have said enough. Now get out!
You are using the name of Kalos for some twisted game. For that alone, you should die. And if you do not tell me what you have done, I will kill you right here!
Koroth looks guilty and cannot hold Worf's gaze.
Problems with your memory are the result of the way you returned.
What do you mean?
We, the Guardians, have been awaiting your return for centuries, but we did not have the technology to bring you back until now. We were able to use an organic sample of the first Kalos to give you life.
The first Kalos?
A clone. He is a clone.
What is a clone?
A being created in a laboratory by using genetic material from another being. You are a copy. A fraud!
You are not just a copy. We gave you more than the body of Kalos.
We found a way to imprint specific information in your neurosynaptic patterns. We gave you memories, and not just any memories. We gave you the experiences of Kalos as written in the sacred texts.
So, I did not do any of the things that I remember. I was never in the city of Quinlot. I never went to the Kristat volcano.
You were not awakened until we transported you into the cave and you appeared to Worf. Before that time, you were unconscious in a laboratory where we accelerated your growth, corrected any genetic anomalies that occurred, gave you the wisdom and memories that...
They grew you in a test tube like some kind of fungus and programmed you like a machine.
You are twisting the truth.
You talk to me of truth. You who have brought to life this lie and called it Kalos.
It is not a lie. Genetically, he is Kalos, and he is needed by our people. You know better than anyone the corruption and dishonor that is destroying the Empire. They need him.
They do not need a false god.
How do you know that this was not the way the prophecy was to be fulfilled? Who is to say that what we did was wrong?
I am. I will not let this fraud continue.
Worf! You cannot tell Gowron of this.
Do not give me orders, Koroth.
All right, but consider this. If you tell Gowron what we have told you, it will destroy him. And with him, the last chance to restore hope to our people. It's your choice.
Worf gives Koroth a contemptuous look and turns to go. Shortly, Worf enters the holodeck temple where some Klingons still kneel and pray.
They have been sitting here for 3 hours, 17 minutes. They refused to return to their ship with the rest of Gowron's men. They insisted upon waiting here until they see Kalos again. Their faith appears to be unaffected by his inability to defeat Gowron. They still believe.
Then they are fools.
Does that mean you no longer believe this is the real Kalis?
Yes.
I am curious. Do you still think the real Kalis will return someday? Or has this experience only deepened the spiritual crisis which originally sent you to Boreth?
Worf looks at a loss.
I do not know.
I understand your dilemma. I once had what could be considered a crisis of the spirit.
You?
Yes. The Starfleet officers who first activated me on Omicron Theta told me I was an android, nothing more than a sophisticated machine with human form. However, I realized that if I were simply a machine, I could never be anything else. I could never grow beyond my programming. I found that difficult to accept. So I chose to believe that I was a person, that I had the potential to be more than a collection of circuits and subprocessors. It is a belief which I still hold.
How did you come to your decision?
I made a leap of faith.
Understanding flickers across Worf's face. Worf strides back into the conference room.
The man who appeared to me on Boroth is not Kalis. He is a clone.
A clone?
Yes.
Did you really think you could get away with this kind of fraud, Koroth? I will have you and this abomination put to death.
It does not matter, Gowron. You will still not be able to stand against him.
What? He's not real. You just said so.
I said he was not Kalis. But in the minds of our people, he can be just as powerful as Kalis. Even now, two members of your own crew are sitting on our holodeck waiting for him to return.
I do not care what they think.
But they are not alone. Like many of our people, they need something to believe in, just like I did. Something larger than themselves, something that will give their lives meaning. They need Kalis.
But when they find out the truth...
It does not matter, Gowron. Despite the facts, they will still believe. They will make a leap of faith. And there will be others just like them. Not everyone, but enough to plunge the Empire into civil war if you oppose them.
What are you saying? That I should just hand over the Empire?
No, no, that would be unwise as well.
Then what are you proposing, Worf?
You were right about one thing, Koroth. Our people are becoming decadent and corrupt. They need moral leadership. Kalis can be that leader. As emperor.
There hasn't been an emperor in 3 centuries.
The political power will remain with the High Council. Kalis would be a figurehead, but he will have the ability to rally the people, to lead by example, to guide them in spiritual matters.
The title is meaningless without the power to back it up.
Real power comes from within the heart. You would have the power to mold the Klingon heart. You could return them to honorable ways according to the original teachings of Kalis, which are within you. It would be a great challenge if you have the courage to accept it.
And what would we tell the people about their new emperor? That he appeared in a cave? Or a laboratory?
We will tell them the truth. All of the truth. But we will tell them that even if he is not the real Kalis, he is the rightful heir to Kalis.
And if I refuse to go along with this?
Then my brother and those who support him on the council will fight you, and I will fight you. And the Empire will fall back into civil war.
Gowron frowns, sensing defeat.
What do you say about this, Koroth?
What I say is unimportant.
Kalis, who has been sitting quietly, suddenly stands.
It is acceptable.
First Koroth, then Worf, kneel before their new emperor.
Join with me, Gowron. Let us usher in this new era together. No.
Slowly, with obvious reluctance, Gowron kneels.
Kaelis.
Kneeling before the Emperor, Worf still looks uncomfortable. Later, Kaelis prepares to transport.
Farewell, Worf.
Goodbye.
What's wrong? You should be proud of what you've accomplished.
I went to Boroth to find my faith. For a time, I thought I had. But my heart is empty again. I do not know what to believe.
You doubt the real Kaelis will return one day. You doubt that he is still waiting for you in Stovokor. Kaelis left us. All of us. A powerful legacy. A way of thinking and acting that makes us Klingon. If his words hold wisdom and his philosophy is honorable, what does it matter if he returns? What is important is that we follow his teachings. Perhaps the words are more important than the man.
Considers this.
Kapla, son of Mork.
Kapla. Kaelis.
Worf nods to the transporter chief to energize. Kaelis raises a hand in salute as he dematerializes. The bird of prey sets course back to the Klingon homeworld. The end.